A wise man named Philip Stanhope once said, "Know the true value of time. Snatch, seize, and enjoy every moment of it. No idleness, no laziness, no procrastination. Never put off a game till tomorrow if you can play it today." We're going to talk more about this on today's episode of The Enlightened Gamer.
All right, welcome to what might be the wackiest episode of the Enlightened Gamer podcast. We are online finally after an hour of troubleshooting and technical difficulty and changing tires and I don't know. So I'm feeling pretty...
I want to pause the host here for a second. John, can we have a sidebar here?
Yes.
John, can we talk about how we had no technical problems at all?
That's true.
Okay, anyway, continue on.
Okay, so sorry. I guess I'm projecting on you guys that I'm going to have maybe a slap happy episode right now because I'm like right at that juncture where stress turns into like energy, turns into like whatever, I don't care anymore. Ha ha ha, insanity. I think that's what they call it. So
that's the only Tommy Wiseau.
So
what the story, Matt?
Joel, I'm going to let you introduce tonight's episode because I don't know specifically what you're going to call the topic.
I'm going to call it this is our top five games you wish you had more time for. Top five games you'd play in heaven when you have infinite time. Like these are games that I don't know how to say it eloquently, but basically they're games that we all own, we've bought, and they're sitting in our Steam library just waiting for us to have a vacation week to play them. I think everybody's got that. We all have this acquisition disorder where we see something on sale for 90% off. You can't pass it up. You're like, I just need this game. And then it sets and collects dust in our library. And this episode's brought to us by Malwarebytes.
No, it's not.
It's free. Download it, and you'll have less problems.
You know, it's interesting that we have this episode today because right now is the start of my week-long vacation I'm taking from work. So maybe I'll have some ideas of some games I should try.
So we'll check back in 2 weeks where John will still have not played any of these games.
But I'll have 80 more hours of Minecraft. What's that?
I've been playing Minecraft.
Oh, weird. playing Minecraft.
No, lately I've been playing a ton of Rocket League, like copious amounts.
Oh, yeah, and man, I still love that game. Like, even every time I fire it up, we've said this before, I think all of us have said this before. It's one of those games you fire up and you're going to play it for 10 hours, and that's kind of the danger of firing it up.
I haven't had the fever lately, but I mean, like, I know every time I start it up, I'm like, oh gosh, this game's good. I just haven't fired it up lately.
That's what I was saying, bro.
I recently got a call from one of the astronauts on the International Space Station. They said they can still see my Rocket League boner. So, I mean, 6 months later, that's pretty impressive.
That's a pretty powerful microscope, though. So, telescope? Yeah, anyway.
I mean, they're kind of the same thing. They're just at different scales.
Well, yeah. They change the position? Yeah, both the positioning and the orientation of the lenses.
Okay, yes, I have to put it on a slide. Any further questions?
So, speaking
it
of
fits
editing,
on a slide.
Let's go ahead and start with our number fives.
Yeah, who's editing this episode?
Take two.
John, go ahead.
Not
number
it.
Five.
All right. Who's getting started?
I'll
John,
go first.
Do you have number five?
My first one would be Batman Arkham Origins, which I paid, I think, $10 for. I was super excited and started playing it and had a lot of fun. And then I went on a trial at work and I was gone for a week and I never touched it again.
I mean, that's kind of, I think that's most people's feeling about that Arkham game. It's not made by the same studio that makes the others, Rocksteady. And it like kind of came through. Like there was kind of a Rocksteady like skin on it, but there were definitely bigger like technical bugs and I don't think they got all the voice talent. I know for sure they didn't get Mark Hamill to play the Joker.
Did they even have
I didn't hate it.
No, I think they got John DiMaggio to play the Joker.
So there was a Joker. So like where does it fall as far as the timeline? I mean, obviously before Arkham City, no spoilers.
I'm going to say with a game called Arkham Origins,
it's around
it's probably
the origins?
At the beginning.
Oh, I thought it was an EA game. That's why I got confused.
Oh, gotcha. No, even though the default skin is... What?
Don't insult that game like that, bro.
No, it's on my Steam account. I was lying.
No, I played it until... Like, my experience with that game is I played it, and Matthew bought it for me, actually. This is when
really?
I first came to... Yeah, he found it on, like, 98% off sale somewhere. So He was like, dude, you need to try these games out. He got me all the Batman, like Arkham Knight.
I think this is before I'd played it very much. So
clearly.
But I was playing through Origins because it's the only one I hadn't played on console. And I was actually really interested in it. And it was an awesome game. And then I got to this, like, I'm not very good at puzzles anyway. Like, if you watch my Let's Plays at all, you're like, yeah, he's not.
Yeah, I've raged at a few of your Let's Plays.
But I got to a level where it was like a big ship that you have to get through. And it kind of was clunky to figure out some of the puzzles on this ship. Like, you had to retrace your steps. Like, it wasn't even a good puzzle. It was like just a hit this switch, now go through 3/4 of the level backwards to open this other switch, then go through the level 3/4 of the way the other way. I mean, it was just a lazy puzzle.
That's where the game kind of annoyed me a little bit, because you fought at least a couple of the different, like, people that were trying to hunt you down. I thought the game itself, the concept for that game, oh my gosh, it was so cool. Right, you're Batman and you have to defend yourself against, like, all these different people who want to kill you. Like, there's 12 assassins or something like that coming to kill you. I'm like, man, that's really entertaining for me as the gamer.
Right.
But they kind of, like, they pitch away Deathstroke too quickly, or at least, like, they give the impression that he's not coming back, too. So you would have, had you gotten through that boat, that's the Penguin's boat.
I fight Deathstroke. Like, that's where I quit the game. I'm like, oh, this is becoming like a Street Fighter game now.
That fight was really frustrating, too, and, like, really difficult. I had to do it more than a few times, and, like, it didn't feel clever. It didn't feel like, yeah, exactly. It didn't feel like I was skilled and whatever.
I hate Deathstroke anyway, because he's a bad DC knockoff of Deadpool, honestly.
His character, his storyline is way different, but, like, I mean, he looks completely generic and, like, exactly like, yeah, he's Deadpool if one of his eyes got glazed over. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Which is what my eyes are doing right now.
Wow, jeez. My number Shots five, fired. I'm going to move on here. So we aren't doing a...
I guess if we go
for an hour
John.
And 29 minutes, then people start getting antsy. So my number five is The Escapists. I have 2/10 of an hour on The Escapists. This is one that I picked up on, like, a bundle or a winter sale. I'm not sure even. But I just think the premise of the game is really cool. It's like a cartoony jail simulator where you're trying to escape from a prison. And it relates closely to one of my honorable mention games. But The Escapist, it's one that I've played seriously none at all. I mean,
Prison Tycoon.
It's Prison kind of Architect.
That's what I meant.
I'm guessing yeah, Prison Architect.
Prison Architect is my honorable mention. I don't think you guys have that on your list either.
I have it on my Steam account.
I do, kind of. Like, it should be on my honorable mention list because people talk about that game like crazy. And I tried playing it for maybe half an hour once, and I was like, I don't know how to install a bathroom. Like, I don't know how to make cells. I don't know
how do you put
what
floor
I'm doing.
In? Like, I just, it's
and
really.
I saw that
this
in the
is,
news
this
recently,
is one
too.
Of a few games. This is one of a few games I would actually appreciate a tutorial in, and yeah. There's not one
well,
that I can
apparently develop. There's like a secret 3D mode that players have just discovered in that game, too. So that was just in the news.
Huh. That's pretty cool. Yeah.
That's crazy if that's true.
Should I proceed with my number five?
Yeah, absolutely.
Perhaps.
I think this has to be something from a bundle too. Like, I always pick these games up and I'm like, huh, I should really play these. These look awesome and they get really high ratings on Metacritic. And I'm like really excited when they are go on sale. And I've literally put 0 minutes in the entire series. And that's, I think it's Colin McRae related, but it's the Dirt series.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I've got Dirt 3, like, the Dirt 3 Complete Edition somehow, and then,
the
like,
rally
Dirt,
car game?
Dirt Showdown. Yeah, it's all about rally racing okay. and stuff.
Those I have those, like, too. I haven't even installed them. And then there's the old one that's, like, Colin McRae, WRT.
Something like that.
Yeah, I think there was a bundle, too, that I bought as well. And I think, like, Grid is another one that is in that same category for me. Like, I played Grid maybe an hour or two.
Like, I own all of those and never made the time to play them.
Yeah, that's
I have Dirt 3, Dirt Showdown. I've never played them. They look really cool, though.
I looked almost exclusively at my Steam library for these games. I guess had I wandered over to Uplay, I'm guessing this would have made it at least somewhere in my list. But The Crew, did any of you guys buy that bundle and get The Crew?
Yeah, I have The Crew as well.
And how much time have you put into it?
0 hours.
And how much time do you anticipate putting into it?
I don't know. Like, I would play it, I think. I think I'll probably play it at some point. But, I mean, just, again, there's so many things. The other thing, too, is, like, I understand Uplay is your own thing. It's decent now. It's not the world's clunkiest, crappiest interface ever. But, like, if your game isn't in front of me, it's, like, out of sight, out of mind. So
true.
If you're not in Steam, you're not going to get played, probably.
I have a hard enough time playing my Steam games. I have 286 Steam games. So,
I think I cracked 300 this week, maybe.
I'm at 262. I'm just a plebe.
What are you at, Matt?
Let me check. I think I literally cracked 300. I should have had some kind of celebration, but I don't think I did.
Maybe you have a badge.
I'm trying to remember what my 300th game was.
You got an accomplishment called Chapter 11, which is cool.
302.
Wow.
No, at least I don't. I have Chapter 11 and Chapter 7 and 13, don't I?
Well, I think this though on Steam, if I had to come up with like a mean price of my Steam games, I would guess it's like $1.40 or something. I mean, like, so you don't spend a whole lot on games on Steam.
Well, not with Humble Bundle and Bundle Stars and all those good people.
Exactly.
I would say even with this list, like my average price is probably $3.14. It's like pie.
I think, yeah, exactly. A lot of your games you get on here are exactly that. They're Bundle Stars or Humble Bundle, like you said, John. And I think, I don't know.
And some of them, like,
you get 17 games for $20 sometimes.
Yeah. Crazy. I went on Kinguin and I fell for the pay $3, get 10 Steam games thing. Oh. It was like Zombie Shooter, Zombie Shooter 2, Zombie Shooter 3. And it was like, it's like a 2D side scroller that. Not a lot of effort.
Bejeweled 2, Bejeweled 3.
I also got like a Mahjong knockoff and a Japanese puzzle game.
And Team Fortress 2 back when it used to be.
No, I didn't get that. So there's nothing I'll ever play. I'll never see that $3 again. But
I did that. I did it too. And actually, I did the one on GOG. Like, they did one that was like $4
somewhat
for a random.
Then, right?
Yeah, it was like $4 for a random, like, good key that's at least $20 retail price.
Okay.
And I got freaking Leisure Suit Larry. I'll never play that.
That's game. Inappropriate, isn't it?
Yeah.
Slightly?
Yeah, except for you're the one talking about boners already. So, is it inappropriate?
What about boner
boners?
Farts?
Oh my gosh, I'm so... Don't say that in my presence.
What about boner farts?
Whatever. So, number four, John.
Number four? I would say that would be Risk of Rain. It's a chucklefish game, not dissimilar to Starbound, but quite a bit different in some ways as well.
Is that one developed by or published by Chucklefish?
I've got no idea. It looks very similar to Starbound.
It's developed by. It's from what I understand of it, because I looked into it too, John. It's basically a platformer where like you all keep going until everyone dies. From what I understand.
Okay.
Love you too.
Love you three.
That was for all the listeners out there.
This is going to be an editing
what?
Gold.
No, it's not.
Solid gold.
What are you talking? That was an Easter egg.
That was an Easter egg.
So
anyhow, great game. It's a pretty good combat mechanic. It's, I think there are a lot of different weapons, sort of like Starbound, a lot of different types of weapons, different types of combat. I have a friend who has over 400 hours in that game, so it's quite addictive, but I've never had the time to play it. I've only have 0.8 hours spent on it so far. I'll get to it. I'll get to it one of these days, though.
That's like 40-ish minutes, 45.
That's true. It's a good start.
Yeah.
That's not 48, bad. Right?
48, yeah. You're right. Way to math. You math so much better than me.
My number four is kind of a cheat, just so you guys know right off the bat here. It is Dropsy. And why it's kind of a cheat is because I picked it up on iPad and played it on iPad. And I'm at about an hour on iPad, maybe. But I have 0 minutes in Steam. That game is one that I made it to the cemetery and I like put the picture on the grave at the cemetery. And that's all the farther I've gotten so far. But, I'm a little partial to this because Jay, the developer, was on the show and he's a super cool guy. And so it's everything I like about gaming exists in that game. And so I just need to make some time for it and play it. I mean, just it's been a really fun game for me to play so far. And the music in it's really cool. So that's my number four is Dropsy.
That one would have made my list if I was being more honest and not afraid that Jay might actually listen to the show.
Or watch your YouTube channel.
No, I deliberately have decided, like, I'm not going to do Let's Plays of like point and click adventures, because that's the game. Like, you're literally taking money out of the developers' pockets. And like, the day EA starts doing point-and-click adventures, yeah, that's great. Come check episode 41, like, every secret to this game ever and whatever, like, all the history.
All the paths that possibly right. you can take.
Exactly. But Jay's a really cool dude, and, like, I support yep. cool indie developers. I'm not going to be like, okay, here's basically this game turned into a movie, and you don't have to do anything. Sit back and watch it, so that there's no way you'll ever buy
what
it.
What about
so,
like,
and listen to that episode if you haven't. I mean, that guy is really awesome. He gave us some time to talk about his process on that. But, like, the guy on the show even says, hey, I'm living at home with my parents. Like, I'm not making a whole lot of money off this
right.
thing yet. Devolver's been really good to me, but I got to recoup my costs. And, like, I don't yeah, know. His game is really cool.
He's honestly, like, the real hidden face of indie development, I think. Like, that's what it should look like. Well, I mean, not maybe it should look like, but that's maybe what it does look like and people don't see sometimes. Because even some of, like, the bigger indie developers are getting kind of big. Like, think about Psyonix and Rocket League. Like, they're getting their own Champions League now or whatever, and, like, they're getting a big Twitch thing going on. I don't know how indie they are necessarily, but, like, I mean, they're independent of anyone else, so I guess they are.
And I fully support well, like, that.
Dropsy's indie development was, like, literally him by himself, and then he got right. so burnt out that he hired on two other people.
But
so it was, like,
and I think he hired a coder, too. Like, he did most of the art, right?
Jay yeah, did. He did, like, 70% plus of all the game art, and, like, he did do some of the coding and stuff. Okay. And
a lot.
Like, as much as he could, and, like, he definitely admits that, oh, hey, I'm not the most capable coder, like, it's not my specialty, and I can't do everything on this game by myself, so.
Sure.
But it was, like, it was a cool passion project that took him, I think, 6 years from, like, the start of development till now, so I really hope, you know, it does good things for him. Anyway, we were doing a list or something, right?
Yeah, number four.
And we're to me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yours was Dropsy. That's a good point. I think that's why we're talking about it. I'm going to go with number four, The Binding of Isaac.
Ooh.
And that's a really, like, I really like the, I'm trying to think of the guy's name, Edward, and I can't think of his last name right now.
Colin.
But he's, like, the artist and designer behind Super Meat Boy.
Norton?
Yes, Edward Norton, the Hulk. Yeah, she smashed this game out, like, the Hulk and Edward, yes, Edward Scissorhands. What other one? Did you have anything else?
I said Ed Cullen already, so Edward Cullen.
But that's Edwardson. His actual... Isn't Edward Cullen his actual name, though? So,
yes, he's also a vampire who twinkles in the sunlight.
You know what? That's a funny callback, because I'm pretty sure I called this guy Edward Cullen in an episode. And I, like, legitimately think that's his name. And it's something, I swear, something similar to that. But anyway, that guy designed this game, and for thinking if I played this game 12 minutes... That means basically I watched the intro movie and, like, got through the first two rooms, maybe. Like, but I don't know. I was really excited about this game just because I like Super Meat Boy. And, like, Super Meat Boy is probably an honorable mention for me. Like, I've maybe played it 2 hours or something, but, like, I really like the design of the game and stuff.
Let's take a break from our list to do the news. Super Meat Boy is coming to the Wii U. Okay, that's it for news this week.
All right. So my number three is Speedrunners, which you guys begged me to download it, and I did, and we had an incredible time, and then we never played it ever again.
That's a great one, John. I think I'm over an hour on it, but I would put that on my list for sure if it wasn't. That's a great choice.
It's fun. So the whole game, you compete against three other people, usually your friends or just random people, and you try to, like, sabotage each other as you're racing towards the end of a course of sorts.
Yeah.
It is incredibly fun. It's a rage-inducing. I was infuriated a few times, but I don't know. It's very addictive, but I've never touched it since.
It's exactly what is going on with Rocket League goes on with this game, too.
Oh, yeah.
When you're not playing it, you're like, that's okay. But then once you start playing it, you're like, oh, this is the best game. And it's really fun. It was in a Humble Bundle, or is in a Humble Bundle right now, so you can get it.
Oh, it is?
Pennies. Yeah.
Which one? Jumbo?
I think so. Maybe it might have been a weekly bundle, but yeah, available pretty cheap.
I don't believe you, but let me look.
Listen for clicking on the keyboard now.
Nope, I'm already there. Weekly bundle. No, it's just pinball. Zen Studios.
Whoever's editing this episode, can you put, like, the Price is Right? Wah, 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 right there. Like, oh, it's just pinball. It's not even pinball, is it? Isn't it, like, skins for pinball?
Yeah, for a free game. But, yeah.
There you go. This week's Humble Bundle is skins for a pinball machine on your Windows platform. And last week it was, like, all the Assassin's Creed games for like $4.
Yeah. That is the fun of the weekly bundle, for sure.
I guess they can't keep up that pace forever, though. Like, there have been a lot of really good bundles coming out recently, so...
There was definitely a bundle with speedrunners in it, and I think it was the one that actually had, like, all the DLC content for free-to-play games.
Ooh.
So...
A lot of, like, all the YouTubers and stuff, right?
Yeah.
That's what I think is actually really fun about that game, is, like, you can play as,
PewDiePie?
JonTron.
Yeah. Well, no, you can't play as either... Well, you can't play as PewDiePie. I was like, JonTron would be a great Markiplier. Addition. Peanut Butter Gamer is really cool because they do like the most close to a licensed version of Link as they can to make him that. And then like, I think Dodger is like one of the last ones I kind of remember. Like in terms of like from Press Heart to Continue, from YouTubers like I have some level of familiarity with.
Yeah.
And that's because of the whole thing John was talking about with like the telescope from space. Anyway,
Anywho, Joel, number three.
Okay.
She's hot.
Yeah.
My number three is what Dan Aykroyd recently called the third Ghostbusters movie, and that's Ghostbusters, the video game from 2009. Own it. Haven't even installed it. I want to play it, and I don't think I played it because I'm just so upset that it's single player only. I wish it was a co-op game. But right. I need to play through that. Have you guys played through it?
I have not.
I've played through maybe the first couple levels, and it is pretty cool. But yeah, that was definitely something. You're making a Ghostbusters game. Why not make it at least two-player co-op, you know? Like, and I guess they had to build a story around it. And like,
they should have called it like Ghostbuster then.
True. Well, no, you actually go alongside the old cast, and I think it's got even all the voice acting.
Yeah, Harold Ramis is even in it. So, wow. I mean, like, it's one of the last things he did, I think.
Well, I think that'd be another reason why I wouldn't want to play it, though. Like, that'd be kind of weird, you know? I don't know. Maybe not.
Well, I'll tell you that it's probably the Ghostbusters movie that I'm going to watch this summer because I'm not going to go see the
I was going to ask if anyone else had seen the trailer for it or whatever.
Oh, my gosh. I looked at a conversation on Reddit about it, and the people there are like, no one go see this movie, please, because we want everyone to be like, this is a disgrace, and don't make movies like this anymore.
Is it bad?
And, like, all I know is the girl from Saturday Night Live.
The black girl, right? And she's not at all a positive, like, depiction of even what black women should be or are, and she's, like, the most stereotyped, like, black woman of all time, right? And, like, not only that, they put her in the role of, yeah, I'm, like, some parking garage attendant or something, but I know New York. Like, I don't know science. Like, what?
Oh, my.
You can't do that in a modern
Leslie
movie?
Jones, is that her name or something like that?
I don't know. I don't think she's that funny. Like, honestly, I've seen her on Saturday Night Live and stuff, and, like, she just doesn't have my comedic sensibilities, I don't think. But, like,
she plays one character, basically.
Oh. The time. And that's why, then.
Yeah.
So, like,
and she's... If you look up, like,
why cast her, the then? Like, no offense, but, like, you already have your I only play one type of person in that movie, and it's Melissa McCarthy, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
She truly does.
Well, yeah.
And then other thing, too, is she's this is fun facts for you. This is the kind of fun stuff you get on this podcast. It's regarded pretty widely as the worst Saturday Night Live sketch of all time. And there's been some really bad sketches.
Which one?
She and Chris Rock are in one where they're like supposed to be like a couple. And it's the worst like stereotyping of a black family ever. And just there's a part where she walks off the scene before she's supposed to. And Chris Rock's just standing there like, what am I going to do? And then she walks back out and she's looking for cue cards, like trying to find her line. Like it's such a bad sketch.
Get her in a movie. Get her in a franchise movie.
and then someone said, basically, they're like, she's woman Tracy Morgan, like, is what she is. And, like, Tracy Morgan does the character well. Like, Tracy Morgan's funny with the whole shtick, but it's been done now, and it's an imitation of this cool shtick.
And that's fine, and that's great. But if you're remaking a Ghostbusters movie, and even if you weren't doing an all-female cast, I don't want Tracy Morgan in that role either. Like,
right.
I mean, legitimately. I think this will be fun. This will maybe get me inspired to do another episode of Let's Talk Movies, I guess. Let's recast the Ghostbusters real quick. And let's use contemporary people, like people who are funny and in the now. So I would say I would put Joseph Gordon-Levitt somewhere in there.
Yes.
Right? I would think you would use either Donald Glover or I'm trying to
– How about Danny Glover?
Could you cast in that role? What?
Danny Glover?
I think he's a bit old. I saw him in a movie recently. He looks a bit dated.
Donald Glover would be good.
Donald Glover would be good.
Yeah, and well, here's, you know, like, so this was a thing. There was a lot of, like, not fan outrage, but a lot of, like, people gathering around him to be the new Spider-Man. Did you catch this at all?
Yeah. But he wants to. He's been petitioning for it himself.
And that would be amazing. But do you know why he can't be Spider-Man?
Why? Oh, so I Marvel, know. Because yeah, go tell
Marvel has a document, and I don't know if this leaked or if this is what, but this is, like, official and actual stuff when, you know, Sony bought Spider-Man from Marvel. And so a document that exists that says what the character is who's Spider-Man. And Spider-Man can't be two things that were very surprising, which is Spider-Man can't be gay, and Spider-Man can't be black. So, like, that's literally keeping him out of this role, I think.
Is that even...
We're doing video chat with each other, and seeing John's face was really fun.
I forgot the video chat was even up, so I...
Is it legally binding?
Was he wide-eyed?
It seems like
what?
A hate document, if such a thing were to exist.
Is it not? Was it, like, exactly, and it was signed by, like, J.R. Hoover, Grandmaster, like, you know, Grand Wizard. What does that, the bottom of that document even say?
Grand Dragon. Like,
what in the world? Grand
you
Dragon.
You know who my pick for that character is Orlando Jones. He hasn't been around and doing anything lately, but I'd put him in there.
Orlando Jones?
I don't know who that is, so I immediately went to Orlando Bloom, and I'm like, all right, cool, yeah, whatever, sure.
Orlando Jones was kind of a hot actor in, like, around 2000.
Who's your Peter Venkman character for the new Ghostbusters?
Jonah Hill.
Oh, gosh, no.
I don't know. I think you have a crush on Jonah Hill, and I think you think he's really fun.
Josh Gad, is that his name?
Josh Gad wouldn't be terrible, I don't think. No, actually, he would. He's too porky.
What about Nathan Lane?
I don't know. Yes. That'd be the career saver. Let's get Nathan Lane in there, Matthew Broderick, Don Glover,
and then
Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
And they want to make a really terrible Ghostbusters movie. That's the premise, right?
I think you get Jay Baruchel. I don't know if that's how you pronounce his name or not. Do you guys know
him?
Yeah,
he'd be really good, too.
He'd be a great new Egon, I think, right?
To put with Seth Rogen, because they have to be in every movie.
No, and that's the thing. I want this to be a breakout role for him. I don't want any Seth Rogen in this movie. If Seth Rogen is in the movie,
Stay
he's the secretary,
Marshmallow
right?
Man.
All right, that's fine, but where are you going to put John
Franco? He can be the Stay Puffed Marshmallow Man.
John Franco. I love how, like, you sound like a Hollywood exec at a pitch meeting who's like, yeah, we gotta get that John Franco in the seat. Like, it's
like, how are you gonna fit in John Franco?
That kid, the
squinty-eyed guy. He sells a lot of movies.
Get that John
know.
Franco. The kids love him.
I was like, that's really racist. You can't call him the squinty-eyed guy. That's really racist. And I'm like, no, the white one. Oh, okay. James Franco? James? Okay, so hey, we're all big fans of The Room here, right?
Yes.
Kind of. Ironically. Oh, I was going to say Peter Venkman. My Peter Venkman's got to be Paul Rudd. I mean, he's overbooked right now, but Paul Rudd would be really good for Peter Venkman.
No one dislikes Paul Rudd either.
Like, exactly. I mean, like, I don't think he's going to age like Bill Murray in terms of being, like, iconic or anything, but I think he would fit the bill right now. His popularity is probably, like, at its highest peak.
Do you know who they forgot to put in the all-female cast? And this reminds me of who I'd want to put in the male cast. It's Fred Armisen. Carrie Brownstein should have been in this as the female cast.
Portlandia? I think you do, like, they're Portlandia characters. Yeah, so Fred Armisen is the female Ghostbuster. And then she's
the
man. The
bookstore.
That's much better.
Can you hand me my proton pack? I can't reach it. I can't reach it.
We cannot get it for you at this time.
I'm sorry, you cannot haunt this place at this time. I would watch that. I would watch
those
characters.
Put that finger away. You might as well point a penis at me.
Hey, PG. Anyway, you don't use that male anatomy term in my direction, pal.
No, but seriously, like that movie. And the other thing too is I read on Reddit. There was a guy who was working in the After Effects thing, and he's like, I signed an NDA, but screw it. I hate the company I work for. They can fire me. Whatever. Like, basically, though, Chris Hemsworth, is that who it
is?
Yeah. Plays the receptionist.
Yep.
And, like, they make so many just dumb, like, oh, he's man candy. And, like, he's pretty much the best part of the movie, they said, because he just makes so many, like, I'm a guy bimbo jokes. But, like, if that's all there is to see, yuck.
Yeah, I mean, I'll pass. And especially on something which I like a lot, the Ghostbusters, I just don't see that as being, like, I guess it's not a sequel. It's supposed to be like a reboot, but like...
Why are they taking one of our favorite childhood cartoons and making it into a terrible movie?
Exactly. One of our favorite childhood cartoons. This is so this is one of my favorite factoids, by the way. So the guy who plays Garfield, right? Does the voice of Garfield in the animated series?
Uh-huh.
Okay, is the same guy who does the voice of Peter Venkman in Ghostbusters.
Oh, really?
But when they cast that guy, or when they cast the role of Garfield on the silver screen, that guy loses his job to who?
Bill Murray.
That's one of my favorite little, like, I don't know, just stupid little things to know.
Why is that interesting? Did they ever make a, is this the first time they've made a
you don't
movie
know what that's
a Ghostbusters?
Bill Murray
beloved
played.
Animated series?
You know Bill Murray was
beloved
Ghostbusters, right?
Animated series Ghostbusters?
What?
Like, are there other Ghostbusters movies of the beloved animated series Ghostbusters?
Oh, yeah, sorry. Well, I hadn't told you about that. You might check
there's
it out.
There's a live-action Ghostbusters movie?
There's one really good one, and then there's one about a painting. So, check those out.
Oh, are these, like, real movies from the 80s? Or?
Yeah, I think they might actually predate the cartoon, but I think they were, like, Japanese fan films. Because the cartoon came out in Japan before it came out in America.
But it wasn't called Ghostbusters. It was called Ghost Man Stop Badness.
Right. Something like that. Yeah, I don't know. And the ghosts were the good guys. So there were some problems with translation. They had to recut it. It was labor intensive. I think that's why there weren't too many seasons of Ghostbusters, the cartoon. Maybe I'm wrong about that.
I don't know if you're doing this on purpose or not. But I'm definitely bantering like this because John offered to edit this episode. So anyway,
did you actually like the Ghostbusters cartoon and watch it?
It wasn't bad. It was about as intense as I could handle as a kid. But I mean, like, it wasn't bad.
Yeah, I don't know. It was like they added Slimer as like a really
I'd like to
consistent
see
character.
How it holds up as an adult. The best thing from Ghostbusters ever, the best of all the Ghostbusters franchise and everything that's ever been done with Ghostbusters. Bar none, is Hi-C Ecto Cooler.
Oh, yeah?
But, I mean, that's not really fair. That's like saying oxygen's the best element or something. You know what I mean?
Like, so was that, like, that was the green Hi-C that came out? Did they?
Yes.
Is that what their green Hi-C is now? It's just not called Ecto Cooler?
No, man. Ecto Cooler was the best. If Ecto Cooler, like, I don't eat carbs at all, ever. But if Ecto Cooler comes out because of the movie, which I hear it's going to,
you'll
I will
be immobilized.
Drink me some Ecto Cooler.
You will be immobilized immediately from all the carbohydrates your body will now be holding on to.
You'll need to borrow some insulin.
I will be wearing elastic stretchy pants.
Mainline it.
Yeah.
I think I could do that.
So, Matthew, you did your number
three.
He has
the technology.
Right?
Oh, number three.
Was that John's way of being like, this is in bad taste that he has a diabetic kid and I'm telling him to steal his insulin?
So, number three, this podcast has officially gone on twice as long as I've played my number three game. And it's kind of a critically acclaimed indie game. It came out probably, I think, the time around the same time as like Bastion, or sorry, Braid. And it's Bastion. I just ruined it. Do you guys know anything about Bastion?
Is it part of the Banner Saga?
No, I don't think so.
Like the Hulk?
I don't think so. But you know what? I've only played this game 16 minutes, so like it's hard to tell. Like my expertise in it is kind of minimal. This game was really popular when it came out, though, and one of the things that was cool about it. It had narration for a lot of the player choices that were, so it's kind of like predates the Stanley Parable, right? But it was like, you're an adventurer and you're like this guy and it'd be like, oh, and the hero moved on. And then like you jump off the side of the like level or whatever and kill yourself. And the narrator would have to like account for that and he would say something. And I don't remember what it was, but it was always like snarky and funny. And like, I don't know, the game was really cool for that, but it was also just really awesome art direction. And so I bought it, and I put 16 minutes on it, obviously.
I've seen it in different bundles and stuff, and I thought, oh, that's supposed to be critically acclaimed, but I haven't picked it up. I'll give you some respect on that one.
If you're anything like me, like, don't pick it up, because you won't play it. But, I mean, it's not that it's a bad game, either. I think that's a big disclaimer for almost everything on my list, is like, these are great games, probably. I just like, yeah, I'm way too busy, so... I think that fits your guys too, right?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think all these games that they're on my list for a reason. I want to play them, but I mean, like, it's that whole thing of like, I don't know. You want to do something, but you just don't have the time.
Well, yeah, this filter was definitely like, oh, this is going to be a great single player narrative. I want to dash through this game, and I'll be like really excited to play it. And then I got into it. The story was still good, and everything was going well. And I watched one of my friends play it too. But then, like, I just never came back to it. So I don't know.
I know how I know Bastion. I have Transistor, and Transistor is like a spiritual successor to Bastion, from what I understand.
Could be. I won't debate you because, again, I've played the game 16 minutes, so.
Word.
I think we're looking at your number two, Joel.
No.
John's number two.
I'm number two.
I think we're looking at your number two, John.
That's right, Matt. My number two is, I made a change at the last minute. I'm going to go with L.A. Noire.
You're under an hour on that?
I'll allow it.
Oh, what a shame.
You don't like L.A. Noire?
No, I told, before we started recording, I told Matthew, I said, if I wasn't at like 10 hours in this game, like if the list was the ratio of critically underplayed games for the hours that you have versus you want to play, like my ratio is really low. I want to play that game 100 hours, but I've only played it 10. It's a great
game. You can put 100 hours into that game? Like there's enough gameplay there?
I think between all the DLC and stuff, and also like by the time you finish the game one time, it gives you the feeling like, well, you know, there's different parts of the story. I really wonder if they play out differently if I make different decisions. So, like, it eats at you really bad.
No, I'm just kidding. I have no idea.
I don't know if they do or not. Honestly, I haven't done that much research into it. But, like, that's my feeling at the end of the game was like, huh. And, like, not only that, you're kind of graded on every case. So you're like, huh, I definitely could have done that better. Or, like, I wonder what would have happened if I did this as opposed to that. So there's a lot of, like, curiosity that sparks replay value in that game. So yeah, I could definitely see people having played 100 hours or more.
The other thing on it too is there's a linear game story on it, but then you can unlock different like sites in LA. Famous noir era sites in LA. So like there's like I wouldn't call them side missions, but there's other things you can do that aren't the main storyline too.
Well, there are side missions too. Like I don't know, I wasn't famous for driving my car. Like I think one of the things that ruins that game for me at least a little bit, it's a Rockstar game, right? Yeah. So when I hop in a car in a Rockstar game, I expect to immediately be like, yeah, I'm going to run over every pedestrian I can between here and the place I'm going. And in this one, you're an LA detective. So, like, you're not really allowed to do that. And it, like, affects your grade. Like, everyone jumps out of the way anyway. Like, there's animations.
Like Midtown Madness. Like, oh. Yeah. I don't know if you ever played that, right. But it was just like that. You could not run anyone over.
Exactly. So, like, that really deflates me being like, well, you know, I wanted to try and be a really bad person and like a rogue cop, but I can't. And like, it totally fits the tone of that game, and I get why they did that. But at the same time, like, the guilty pleasures of me being like, oh, this is just like Grand Theft Auto, but I'm a cop. But it's not.
It's awesome. It reminds me the most of, do you remember a game as in childhood that we had on a like 486 called Dick Tracy?
I knew exactly where you were going with that one.
It reminds me a lot of that game. And like, I love the other that thing, game. John. The thing that you learn about 2 hours into this game is, like you said, the driving is really a thankless task. It's like drudgery. So you learn that if you go to the passenger seat, like your character will go, you drive this time. And he like tosses the key to his partner and he drives for you.
Well, and like
you can review the case while you're driving and stuff too.
I guess kind of cool. That was the point that I was going to make, I think originally, is that game has other things going for it. You just don't see them because like, again, yeah, exactly. You want your partner to drive all the time. But if you're driving, things happen on the CB, and it's like, oh, there's a department jewelry store robbery at the corner of blah, 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 and whatever. This is 1940s radio. And, like, so you could go over there and check all that stuff out or, like, stop a bunch of armed robbers. And, like, there's kind of just side missions, but they're definitely not compelling enough to be like, huh, I definitely want to stop this, like, active homicide investigation to stop this, you know, speeding criminal or whatever, like write this guy a ticket for going 65 and a 50.
So does it have like a transatlantic voicing or phrasing style with how they do the vocals and whatnot?
Okay. Yeah. A little bit. Like some of the people you interview have the transatlantic accent. Love that. But like he doesn't. He has the like very
a lot of the women noir
style, right? He's like the
okay. Watch John, go watch the making of LA Noir. Like, there's a YouTube video that's about 10 minutes long, and you'll be like, oh my gosh, this thing is a piece of art. Like, they went into such painstaking links to capture facial expressions and stuff.
I think the main character gets a little extra, like, you know, CGI makeup maybe or something, but, like, he looks so close to the actual actor who's portraying him, it's insane.
It's Uncanny Valley stuff, man. It's really crazy.
I think the, like, kind of one of the main bad guys, too, is the Steward of Gondor from Lord of the Rings, Return of the King. And when you see that guy, you're like, oh. Like, I didn't put it together until I looked up the cast of this game. I was like, oh, it's that guy. And it does look exactly like him. It's just I'd never seen him, like, not doused in oil jumping off the, you're like, saying that like the spire of Minas Tirith.
The facial recognition is better than that of, like, JJ the Jet Plane?
Okay. Yes. It's not quite Thomas, but it's close.
So if that's the last detective game you've played, it should be a big jump for you.
No, it's,
I think you'll be pleasantly surprised.
The whole premise of the game is that you have to read people's facial expressions to see if you think they're lying or not. So they had to really invest in the facial expressions. Now, the thing that people kind of got on this game about, and I didn't even notice it really, is that it's frame locked at 30 frames per second, but that's, to me, that's not a huge deal. I mean, I don't mind that. It's still a beautiful looking game to me. And it's not like you're doing really fast action in it.
I was about to say, I didn't really understand the frames per second thing until I watched like a YouTube video on what that means recently. It's like, yeah, it's not like the main character is flashing his hands in front of his face the whole time really fast or something. Like, and that's video frames per second, but even still, like, there's not movement happening so quickly you'd be like, oh, I can't even, yeah, it's like all blurry and whatever. Yeah, so the 30 frames thing doesn't bother me at all. I didn't notice, I guess.
Yeah, it really does bother some people, though. To the point where they will besmirch the game forever. And
like, I'm going to return my 980 Titan. I guess I'll never need it.
In my 4670K.
Hey, John, on this game, too, I would say, like, get your rig to a place where you and your wife can sit and watch it. And play through the game with her, like, sitting by you, too. Because it's like watching a movie. It's like,
I was going to say, do you remember?
It's a good experience.
Do you guys remember the commercial for one of the Uncharted games?
Yeah.
And the guy was like, don't tell my wife this isn't a movie.
Right.
And I'm like, yeah, kind of. But this is like, yeah, exactly. If there's a game that's ever been so close to a movie I couldn't tell the difference, it's L.A. Noire.
And it's basically a clicker game because you just make choices on, like, how you respond in dialogue to what they're saying to you. I mean, there's some chase scenes and stuff, but I mean, the gameplay fun aspects of it are not really that high. Like, the fun is, like, trying to read people.
The fun is feeling clever, like, in piecing it together.
What if my wife doesn't like film noir?
Doesn't matter.
It really doesn't. Does she like crime drama?
Maybe.
Does she ever watch, like, Investigation Discovery or, like, Law & Order SVU or anything like that?
She does not, thank you very much.
Puzzles at all?
No, thankfully is what I meant to say. She thankfully does not like watching informative murder porn.
Why not? My wife loves that stuff.
Rip.
I think if your wife likes solving puzzles at all or likes an interesting story, it's a good win. And my wife is ultra conservative, so she doesn't like the language aspects of it sometimes, but if she could get past that, she would love watching it, too.
Tell her it's like The Blacklist, or it's, what's the thing with Steve Buscemi in this era? That show.
Oh, Mr. Deeds.
Yeah. Yep. Tell her it's Mr. Deeds. I could never tell if you know what I'm talking about and you're being a jerk, or you have no idea what I'm talking about.
No, it's,
so you're filling
it. It has a name really similar. Empire. Boardwalk Empire.
Boardwalk Empire. Yep.
It has a name really similar to Empire, which is a totally different show.
Which I didn't know, so I was really confused while watching Empire.
No, I...
this seems a lot about making music.
You know what I think about sometimes with this, too, is that our show... John, I'm going to insult homeschoolers a little bit. I really don't mean that. I think homeschoolers are great.
No, we're not. We suck. Go for it.
But I think there's like some homeschool kid out there who like has to do like his book work, and he's like, I'm going to find a podcast to listen to. And he like listens to us and doesn't get like our snarky,
Mom,
sarcastic,
what's a boner?
Weird wit. There's that. But then he's also like, moron, Mr. Deeds is a romantic comedy set in the late 1990s. What an idiot.
It was John McEnroe's breakout role.
So you're John McEnroe. Yep, because he's been in so many movies since. Some kid, some kid in some colonial setting, modern colonial setting, who somehow has access to a podcast is going to get a switch taken up the side of their behind for having asked what a boner is. I don't know where we are in the list. Where are we anymore?
And then my number two.
Okay, Joel's number two.
My number two is Frozen Cortex. I haven't played this game at all, but It's from the makers of Frozen Synapse. And it's football, but like it's like simultaneous turn-based strategy football in like with robots in the future.
That made my honorable mention list. Not officially, but I do want to play it.
Well, the thing that's cool about it is you can do seasons. So like I'm thinking like can we like play a full season like old Tecmo Bowl online?
If just like case, we did a season of really Madden 15.
Cool. Yes. We made it 6 weeks.
So I know we referenced the Kinsey scale a lot, but what's the scale for being butthurt? Because that was like a 9. I think it's just the butthurt scale, isn't it?
My Madden comment?
Yeah.
No, that was so just a 9 on the let me get my digs in scale.
I gotcha. We were going to start a Madden Connected Careers franchise, and we did.
I would still do it, brothers.
I would too. Let's do it tonight.
As soon as 16 comes to EA Access, we'll do it.
Okay. I'm good with that. And it's probably going to be, what? I mean, 3 more months, maybe?
If that. Yeah. Yep.
So, but I mean, we've got other games to play in the meantime, I guess. Isn't that the whole point of this?
Like Frozen Cortex.
Right, like Frozen Cortex.
No, this game just looks really cool. I picked it up for like a really good price on G2 Play. And I just haven't got a chance to play it yet. But I mean, like Frozen Synapse is pretty critically acclaimed. And this is like combination of like simulation strategy type games with sports. And I'm typically a big sports fan. It looks like when you look at it, it looks like the old, Base Wars game off the NES.
I would love,
like, I think it's probably cooler than that.
I would love a reboot of Base Wars. Honestly, like that's something I've been dreaming of for a long time.
Yeah.
But I think the right development studio would have to pick it up for me to be excited about it. Like, I think, honestly, that should be Psyonix's next project. After they're, like, done, like, mastering.
They would do an amazing job.
Yeah, no kidding. They would do this game justice. And I would be as addicted to it as I am Rocket League. So, yeah, let's get that. Let's send letters out tonight. Letters to the editor of Psyonix.
Hashtag BaseWars. Base Wars 2016. There you go. Hashtag Base Wars 2016.
Hashtag and then like at Psyonix or hashtag Rocket League. I don't know. Whatever. I'm bad at Twitter.
Just do something. Start a movement and give us credit for it, okay?
Correct. At Enlightened Gamer. I like your idea. Hashtag Base Wars 2016. Whatever.
if you tweet that, we will give you a game code.
You will get a key.
Nuclear Dawn.
Steam. The first person to do it will get a Steam key.
Our last episode, Matt pulled me aside and said, John, don't you ever insult our listeners again by offering them a free key to Nuclear Dawn.
That's like the prize being like, you can walk my dog.
You can help me move.
That's the makers of Nuclear Dawn, I guess.
Whoever responds to this gets a free copy of Clicker Heroes.
I think it's worse than that because, like, it's kind of an insult. It's like it's a slap to the face with a white glove. I don't know.
It's a game everybody has.
Depression Quest.
Yeah.
In their inventory, I mean.
Oh, John.
All right, John. I mean, Matthew, what's your number 2?
Am I number 2? I swear we've been mixing up this. But anyway, all right. My number 2 is The Elder Scrolls 3 Morrowind. That's a game I've put a lot of time in on the Xbox. It was on the original Xbox, and, like, the load times took forever, and, like, it literally took 2 or 3 minutes to load certain areas in that game, and I still put, like, I don't know, 100 hours plus.
And how many discs was it?
Surprisingly, just one? Is that right? Can that possibly be right?
Downloaded a patch,
maybe. Yeah. Maybe because they were still on DVDs back then, right? So it could have been.
Yeah, I think so. I think it was. Yeah, and who knows?
Original Xbox was no. I don't know.
Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. Like the weird thing about that game was like, you didn't have to even play the storyline, and like you could kill any of the characters that were completely important to the storyline. So like, I don't know. It was a weird game. It really captured my imagination. I put in a lot of time on it. So when I saw it on Steam on some sale and it was like $3, I'm like, of course I'm going to pick this game up. I'm going to put in another 100 hours. Nah, 16 minutes.
Is that a green light?
Is the reason why
nostalgia?
Is the reason why you haven't played it because you have to take your RAM out and stick a potato where the RAM goes when you have to boot this up?
Well, if I put the potato there, what am I going to use for a graphics card?
You can Julia the potato.
It's just an old game.
It is. It looks really bad. It's not like a good. It's not one of those art styles you can go back to and be like, man, this thing looks great. No one will ever say that about Morrowind ever again. until they remake it, because they're remaking every game now. But that game.
Speaking of terrible games that look really horrible, after this episode, you guys won't get to hear this. I'm sorry, but I will be getting lectured for about half an hour about why didn't Mountain Blade Warband make your list? That game's really good, and you have less than an hour playing it on that. I don't understand why you didn't make your list because it's so good.
No, I think I've arrived at kind of a zen place about Mountain Blade Warband. Like, I finally get it. It's not good. That's what it is, you know? Like, it's not a good game, but it's a game that I really like for some reason. And it's, like, I think I literally lost 10 pounds playing that game. Because I remember, like, multiple days of just playing that game, and that was it. And, like, all I would eat during that was, like, some toast with, like, light butter and cinnamon on it. And that was it. That was my diet for, like, maybe, no joke, a week while I was playing that game.
Because you were RPing. You were like, I am a peasant. I can't eat meat.
I know. I think what it was is, like, I finally found out the really cool mechanic of, like, being your own nation and taking over stuff. And, like, I was defending castles around the clock. I would go from castle to castle, and it'd be my army of, like, 90 soldiers, maybe, taking on entire, like, 700 soldier armies, and we would win. And that was a really good feeling. So I'd go back and be like, yeah, I'm going to keep playing this game, see if I can conquer the entire world with, like, 300 people. It was basically like, if 300 was a really fun, compelling to play game.
Hitler Simulator 1997.
I guess. That's making pretty aggressive assertions about the kind of person I am, but I suppose.
Godwin's Law right there.
I guess you weren't trying to, like, commit genocide.
No, not really.
Well, you know one thing that I don't like about Morrowind, now that I just looked it up? There's no workshop support. Can you imagine all the amazing mods?
Ooh.
That's a deal breaker for me.
There would be a reskinning pack to make it look better than Skyrim. Yeah. Like, I guarantee it. I think that's people's, like, one of their favorite Elder Scrolls games.
There's no Kryptonian race either. That's without workshop.
Did you ever do that in the workshop? I know that I did.
I wanted to do the Thomas the Train Dragon, but I never got around to it.
Oh my gosh. What a. and link to that video in the description, maybe, if we can work that out.
Probably the funniest I've ever really, laughed at a YouTube video.
Oh my gosh, so funny. It just replaces.
The creepiest workshop mod I saw was that you can replace the sun with the sun from Teletubbies. Like, toddler face.
I would think replacing the moon with, like, the moon from Majora's Mask would be equally creepy. I don't know. So yeah, that mod, though, turns every dragon in the game into Thomas the Tank Engine, and it still, like, breathes fire and stuff, so.
And he goes, doot, doot! And he flies around.
Yeah, kind of, instead of the dragon noise, so kind of the stuff of nightmares, yeah.
Yeah, that's the result of roasting beans.
Oh my.
Every day.
Every day. So John, yes. You had a number two,
no,
right?
I have a number one.
Is that how this works?
Yes.
Yeah.
I already went number two.
Yeah, so I don't sleep in between episodes of the podcast. I don't know if, like, you guys figured that out or not. I'll finally get to sleep tonight. Yep. And that's, so if I seem a little airheaded, that's probably why.
Lightly buttered cinnamon toast.
You know, all right, so John's number one is Castle Miner Z.
No, actually. Number one.
Let me look it up.
No, I was doing a drum roll. Is Borderlands. I have exactly 1 hour in Borderlands. And
the original?
Yes. I've spent probably 400 hours on Borderlands 2.
You spent the appropriate numbers of hours on Borderlands 2.
No, not true at all. Borderlands 1 is a great game. It's got a lot of great writing. And I just didn't give it the justice it deserved.
You know what? John. It's good. It's a good game, but I don't think after Borderlands 2 comes out, you can ever go back and play Borderlands.
Right.
I'm on the side
of
my brother in this one.
As well.
Borderlands 1 doesn't have much of a story. I don't think there's
none of the characters talk besides, like, get him, Mordecai, or whatever. Like, I mean,
Claptrap does.
Right. Okay.
Here you go, honey.
Yeah, exactly. Like, but none of the actual characters say anything or whatever. Like,
yeah.
I guess, I mean, I don't know. What am I?
There's no charming characters in it like there are in Borderlands 2. I mean, Handsome Jack makes Borderlands 2, in my opinion, because you want to punch the screen and kiss the screen at the same time.
I guess as I'm saying that, though, like, what did they have to build on? Because a lot of the Borderlands 2 dialogue was between Borderlands 1 characters.
Yeah.
So, like, in Borderlands 3, you'd expect to hear a lot from the Borderlands 2 characters, but, like, when you're establishing something in Borderlands, then that's difficult. But I still stand by my original point, which is, like, once Borderlands 2 is out, it does everything better. Like, I'm not going to go back and play Borderlands.
Well, I guess...
despite it being a good game. Like, let's say...
Well, that's why I want to play it.
It's kind of like Arkham Asylum versus Arkham City to me.
Yeah, I disagree with you
too. But that's... See, I guess that's the thing. You've got a better case for that, because Arkham Asylum, people will be like, no way, that game's awesome. Like, it's a, you're going around Arkham Asylum, it's all confined and whatever, and which makes it better. The
scariest video gaming moment of my life was playing that game.
Yeah, I don't know, man.
I think Borderlands is going to go down 10 years from now as being a revolutionary game, because it did a lot of things first. But, like, Borderlands 2 is going to go down as being a masterpiece, because it did so many things.
I think it falls into the same category to me as Torchlight and Torchlight 2. Have you ever played Torchlight?
Yeah. No.
Why the hell would you? Who Torchlight has? 2 is out.
Right.
Oh, what other games can we do this with? Not Half-Life.
Did you ever play Diablo?
No.
Why the hell would you? Diablo 2 is out.
You ever play Diablo 2?
Diablo 3 is out.
Diablo 3 is out.
After 20 years, Diablo 3 came out. Play Half-Life slightly 2? Better.
Oh, wait.
Well, that one's... Do you ever play Half-Life 3? Will you ever play Half-Life 3?
I don't know.
On VR, you will.
Yeah, maybe.
You ever play Super Mario Brothers 2?
You know... why? Yeah, that one doesn't work for that specifically. Did you ever play Super Mario Brothers 3?
Because honestly, Super Mario Brothers 2 is like one of those weird things. It's like... hey, we're the Mario Brothers developers. We're going to take a bunch of shrooms and develop Mario Brothers 2.
No.
Then when we sober back up, we're going to go back to make
3. No, that's not what it is at all. Do you know what happened with Super Mario Brothers 2?
No.
It was a completely different Japanese game reskinned with Mario characters.
Is that what it was?
So
okay, that makes a lot of sense, because it totally is non-canonical. Like, you've got like all these bad guys that are like, where does Birdo come from? And like...
well, the Birdo...
the funny part...
I guess the funny part is that Birdo now is part of the Mario canon. Like, all the other characters, like, weird-looking bird with, like, Italian Renaissance, like, Black Plague doctor's mask on. Where did that character go?
Yeah! Like, there's stuff of nightmares in that game. And the other thing that's fun about
terrifying
that is
sun
everyone's
face.
Got their own special thing. So it's like, Luigi can jump really high, and Princess Peach can, like,
float, kind of
hover.
Kind of, yeah.
And Toads is, he can lift stuff really well. Like, he's got, like, little person power. I don't know.
Yeah, it kind of doesn't make any sense. Toad, I agree with you. The more I thought about what you said, he's kind of a terrible character, and I don't care about him at all.
Well, my number one. Yes. Can we do that?
Yeah, I suppose. We're getting to that point.
I'm going to give you two games, because they're so closely, like, the same thing in my head. The Walking Dead Season 2 / The Wolf Among Us. I haven't played those games at all. Like, I've got a total of 0.5 hours between the two, and I really want to play more. So, yeah.
Rock on. Yeah.
Enough said.
No, I think those games, I got through Season 2. My wife is really big into those, like, the Walking Dead games. I played The Wolf Among Us maybe an hour, and that definitely would fit as, like, an honorable mention on my list. I think the problem with that is, like, there's not even an established universe that I'm going into that I can already be dropped into. Like, I think they benefited a lot from, like, even though it's not the characters you recognize from The Walking Dead, like, Glenn makes a cameo, but it's like, you know this universe well enough, and, like, you understand they're going to be killing characters, they're going to do this and that, so, like, there's still a benefit to that name being there. And like, The Wolf Among Us, I think, is adopted from a comic book, which I didn't know that even until, like, I don't know, having heard about it from different people, and I don't know the comic book, so... It's
a cool story.
I'm sure it is, but it's a big buy-in for me, because, like, I have to, like, really pay attention. And sometimes, like, I don't know, when I'm in the mood to play those games, I'm not going to pay attention to, like, so many finite details and, like, try and learn a bunch of new characters and stuff. So, I don't know. That's my own fault. Like, I really want to play those games because I know they're good. I know they're good, but I just haven't.
Right. And then The Walking Dead 2, like, it doesn't make the list as strongly probably as The Wolf Among Us. Because, like, I think it's weird that in 2 you play as Clementine, right? I mean, like, that's
kind of... yeah, it is kind of... it is weird. Like, you... she's maybe the most capable 12-year-old of all, like, in the entire world. I don't know how old she is specifically. She seems like she's about that age, though. But it's still weird. Like, you don't feel... I always want to play as an adult. And, like, the other thing, too, is it kind of... well, okay, so... Spoilers for John, who's never going to play the original Walking Dead to begin with. But like when you're playing as Lee, you feel a degree of fear because you're like, I'm an adult and there's a decent chance that they're going to kill me off at the end of this game. And they do. So, you know, there's that.
Whoa. Spoilers.
That game's so old. If you haven't played it by now, whatever. that's like saying Shane dies in The Walking Dead or whatever. Like, I don't know.
Whoa.
It's like saying that the main character's son shoots Shane.
Rick Grimes loses his
is
hand.
That how he dies?
Yeah.
I don't remember specifically. I didn't like Shane, and I didn't care when he died. And I think that had to have happened by season two, because I didn't continue to watch
and
after
Shane
that.
Shane was carrying Laurie's baby.
I was like, oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah, that was dramatic, I suppose. That was one of the bigger, like, climactic parts of season two. I felt like season two was watching someone play Farming Simulator 2015. I'm like, this is not fun for me, and I don't care.
it was but yeah, Soap like, Opera Simulator 2015.
Some of the loss of tension in playing The Walking Dead Season 2 as Clementine is you're like, they're not going to kill this girl, you know? Like, as the main character, I feel completely safe the entire time because they're not going to kill Clementine.
There's some weird moments, though, where it's like, what do you think I should do about my diseased
child?
That
was another thing that was weird.
I'm an adult coming to you as a
child. Yeah, everyone comes over to you for advice, and it's like, I'm 10, 12, something like that. What are you talking to me about? Like, why do you think I'm a good source for this?
Matthew, what's your number one?
I'm going to go with, and you know what, I've put a few hours in, maybe an hour and a half, 2 hours in on Xbox One. And the only reason I have, this is one of the free games with gold. It was maybe a few months ago. But on my Steam library, I definitely have not put any time on this. 0 minutes. The Tomb Raider from 2012, I want to say. But the new reboot of the Tomb Raider series, I know is really good. I know it's good. Like, I've heard all my friends play it. I watched them play it on Steam when it came out, like, for 40 hours. And
are you talking about the one that just came out on Steam? Like,
that one's Rise of the Tomb Raider, and it's the sequel to the one I'm talking about, which came out in 2012. When they rebranded Lara Croft as being, like, something that women could look
not
at.
A sex goddess.
Yeah, exactly. Something that, like, you know, positive for, like, the female community. And yeah, like, I don't know. I always wanted to play it.
Is that after
I played
she got
it for a
the
few hours.
Breast reduction surgery?
I think she just got the human looking surgery. the no longer having triangles for pieces of my anatomy surgery.
No longer looking like Angelina Jolie surgery.
John, you obviously don't have familiarity with the original Tomb Raider games.
No clue what I'm talking about right now.
Nope, because what would you describe the original Tomb Raider as looking like, Joel?
Like an hourglass, but even hourglasses would be like, we're not that shit.
I think, well, not only that, but like an hourglass
very, very
made out of triangles.
Like, weird polygons. Yeah,
yeah,
and exactly.
Then like, I don't know.
Hey, I gotta go, guys. I had some stuff come up here in personal and real life, but this has been a really fun episode. Real quick though, before I go, I want to give you guys
Please
my
do.
Honorable mention so you can talk about them afterwards. Rise of Nations / Civ 5 / Beyond Earth. Those all made my list. Life is Futile, Prison Architect, and Door Kickers. So those are all my like honorable mention games. I don't know if any of those made your honorable mentions or not, but I gotta go, guys. I'm sorry. real life pseudo emergency stuff.
All right,
so,
man.
I will talk to you guys later.
We'll keep updated next week on Joel's real life. What happened, I guess.
It's just I want to stay married.
Yeah,
you know
I get you.
So anyway. All right, see you guys.
Yeah, Joel. Thanks for joining us. and what was I? Oh, John, you'd given us your number one, or you hadn't. I completely forgot.
I have. It was Borderlands. But I've got some honorable mentions if you do.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't write any of those down.
Let's go back and forth. I've got Left 4 Dead, the first one. Played on Xbox, played at parties, would love to play it more. But it's a game that it's not fun to play unless you have a couple of friends that want to play with you.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I for the longest time, I didn't like Left 4 Dead or Left 4 Dead 2. And then I discovered, like, oh, this really is one of the better LAN games of all time. Like, it's kind of amazing, you know?
Yeah,
so,
and then you're like, I'm not playing with Regan, and he's not shooting witches, so this is fun.
Well, there was an element of that. But no, I think, like, it's not something you dive into on your own. And I think we've talked about this before, too, which is, like, the team element of a game, and when you feel like you're the worst player, and you don't want to dive into that and be the only person too. Like, I'm okay with doing that if I'm like with a group of my friends and I know that they're going to like blow me some crap, but like, they're not going to literally be mad at me and be like, you're the worst. Can you're play terrible. With randos? You know, go kill yourself, that sort of stuff. Like, yeah, and I don't want to play like with a pickup group to try and learn a game that is kind of that complex. And like, is that necessary or like kind of that dependent on team gameplay dynamics?
Yeah, like I was playing Battleborn during the beta. I think it was Battleborn. And is that the one that's like a MOBA, but it's first person shooter? Or I think it is.
Sorry.
Not Battleborn.
Battleborn. Battleborn is a MOBA that's a first person shooter. Yeah,
so
it's not
I was playing
yet.
That and people were getting so pissed. We're like, stop going after the heroes. You need to go after the minions. You're an idiot. And I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing.
Here's the problem with MOBAs. Everyone expects everyone else to have an expertise on these games. And like, there's no place for new players to really jump in. I don't feel like, unless you're like literally picking it up by yourself. Playing only bot matches and things like that. No, and nobody wants ARAM. To do that. So, I don't know.
Yeah, so that's a similar experience. Like, it's best to play with people you know until you get good.
Gotcha.
What's yours?
An honorable mention for me is something you have the right to be mad at me for, which is Dying Light. And this is a game that I convinced you to buy.
Yes. I think I dropped $50 on that game.
You paid darn near full retail for it, I guarantee it.
You
and we played
and
maybe
for me to play it. I'm like, okay.
We played it maybe 4 hours.
Nah, that seems a bit generous.
That's probably generous. Let's say three. Yeah, to be safe, let's say three. And what I didn't realize maybe going into it is like, oh, this is probably I think from the developers of Dead Island. And it's basically Dead Island. Like, it really is, with kind of like a parkour kind of element to it that I thought was really novel at the beginning. Then I was like, oh, but then this gets pretty boring and, like, everything looks a little samesies. And, like, I don't know, the same thing kind of occurred to me where it's like, this is still an MMO, kind of, but it's also, like, zombie survival. I think it's doing a lot of things and it's just not interesting to me in general. Like, I don't know. So, did you ever go back and play that game without me?
Nope, I think I sold it.
I have too, so I'm glad to hear that you did.
I think I must have traded it in for something else, or I think it was to buy a controller so my sister could play Diablo 3 with me.
Ah, I need to get a second controller. That's been something that's been coming up for me recently, especially as Rocket League has come out on Xbox One. So,
good call. It'll be a good game to play with
the kiddos. I think it's got split screen. Yeah? Doesn't it have split screen?
It does. And you can join online matches, too, with split screen.
Ooh. Up to four players. Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's amazing. That's something that's been missing from a lot of, I don't know, gaming culture in general. Like, why can't we hybridize, like, local co-op gameplay, like couch co-op, with online gaming?
Well, Borderlands 2 jumped on that.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You can do split screen online with friends, I believe.
Unlike the Handsome Jack collection or whatever?
You know what? Don't hold me to that. I'm not sure. All right.
And as soon as they were bought, they were returned to GameStop.
Here's one for me. Euro Truck Simulator 2.
Okay. I'm trying to... Let me find out how many hours I have in that game. Because honestly... No, not as much as you might think. I do like that game quite a bit. I'm no Catherine
Regan. Well, I remember like 2 years... Yeah. 2 years ago, you told me you were like... Man, I would just love to have a game where I could have a regular blue-collar job and do that job for 8 hours and not run people over, not steal money, just drive a street sweeper or something. That would be the best game ever. And then Euro Truck Simulator 2 came out, and I felt like you were in heaven.
You know what, though? Like, there was kind of a disconnect for me. I think had American Truck Simulator come out at that time, it would have maybe better grabbed my attention. Because there are things about Euro Truck Simulator that are pretty specific to, like, driving a truck in Europe.
Driving on
and
the
I've
left
never
side
done
of the
that.
Road, stuff like that.
You know, and, like, well, you can drive between countries, too. And I guess Germany drives on the right side of the road.
Like a bridge where you switch over?
That's confusing and terrible. And I never want to visit those countries and drive for myself.
What about,
now,
like,
but
can
like,
you drive through the Alps or anything like that? Like, on crazy terrain?
No, there's no, like... there's no like ice road truckers type thing or whatever. Like it's nothing like that. And that's like, it's honestly, that's the thing. It's a lot of tedium combined with like the awkwardness of driving a big rig in a country I'm not familiar with. So like American Truck Simulator is kind of better, but I don't feel like it's as feature rich or anything. And it's also like, this is Europe's idea of what America is like. So, some of the landmarks are in there and some of them aren't. And so it's like, it's not bad. Watch my brother's, review, playthrough, well, whatever.
Like I said on the Facebook chat, that is one of the most rage inducing, playthroughs I've ever seen in my life. So like he overshot his on ramp. So he just like tries to drive up the on ramp. He overshot the off ramp, tries to drive the on ramp and like cuts it too hard. And then he can't like back up because he doesn't know how to back up and like counter steer.
That game is too nice because I don't think it'll actually let you jackknife and like knock your actual truck over. sorry, I'm getting a news update. Actually, it will.
I'm getting something in my IFB right now. I believe that it does allow you to jackknife.
There's a
backing up trailers is hard.
I feel like I'm being haunted right now. Like I'm hearing a voice in my head, and I don't know if it's gonna make it on the podcast.
It's almost like Joel's not recording anymore, but he's still able to come into our ear sets.
Yeah, so family emergency must be over. That's good. No. Anyway, so Euro Truck Simulator makes your list. And for me, you know, I have 24 hours in that game. And I'm good with that. I think, like, 24 hours is a good amount of time to have played that game. And, like, I'm still on the same save game file and stuff. And I get pretty close to, like, halfway paying off the truck that I bought for, like, a crazy amount of money.
True.
The weird thing about that game, you take out a loan for a truck, and you have to pay it back every day.
Really?
And it's like one of the only loans I've ever seen where you have to play it back, or you have to pay it back every day.
You go to the truck driver, buy here, pay here? Or if you go to a reputable dealership, maybe you don't have to worry about that.
No, you finance through a bank. So I don't know what that's about.
Interesting.
Yeah, I don't know. It's an obvious like tweak of real life to reflect something that was like an obvious gameplay mechanic. Nobody wants to wait out an actual like 30 days of gameplay to like do their first payment or something. Oh, so cute. I don't know. Ask your sister about it. She loves that game.
Apparently.
Are we back to me?
Yes.
Okay. So I'm going to go with Don't Starve Together.
That one looks solid. Or even
Don't Starve. What's that?
That one looks solid. That's the survival game, right?
It is pretty cool. It's got workshop content. And it's got, yeah, I mean, it's a cool game. It's a cool concept, and it's like a survival crafting game. It's 2D. I love the art style, and despite all of that, I've played the game like 25 minutes, I think. So
nice. Well, it looks like one that is a lot of fun. I never got around to playing it or buying it.
Don't Starve. It started out as Don't Starve, and now it's Don't Starve Together. It's technically, I guess, Don't Starve Together beta still, but that added co-op. So I think that would at least add elements to the game where you have, you know, multiplayer. That's usually a good additive to me. It's not very often that adding multiplayer to a game ruins it for me.
Yeah.
Well, sometimes if I'm playing with you, but like not very often.
Maybe Goat Simulator. I don't know. Oh, it had like a neutral effect.
Well, but that's the thing. You're talking about Goat Simulator, what, MMO? Yeah. All of that stuff, it's still a single-player game. It's making fun of an MMO. So you're not actually online.
Seriously?
Which makes it even more funny, kind of.
That's I didn't realize it was self-aware like that. That's great.
The whole thing is, yeah, it's a parody of MMO games. Like, yeah, it's really funny. You don't have to feel intimidated by like higher-level goats or anything. You can play as a microwave or a rouge, whatever that is.
That's great.
Anyway, yeah, and, one that, you know what, I had actually pretty high on my list, and then I took it off completely, and this is a game that you love, and I'll let you speak to it, because I've not played it at all, so I don't know really much about what it's about. Overlord. I have that, like, almost that entire series, I think, and I've never played it.
I have Overlord Raising Hell, which is, like, DLC that installs to the original
standalone game. Yeah. Standalone DLC. Yeah.
Well, no, it's not standalone. You can only play that once you install it.
Oh, okay. I've got that. I've got the original Overlord and Overlord 2.
The original Overlord won't work because you have to launch Raising Hell. But I've only got like an hour into it. It's pretty much a linear, over the top kind of hack and slash. apparently I don't really know that much about it. The graphics are nice. It's pretty fun.
Well, I thought the whole thing about it was, like, you control, like, these goblins or minions or something.
Yeah, you tell them what to attack, and then you can pick up more of them, and you can like, regenerate them, too, when they die. So I think as you get more powerful, you get more goblins to follow you around.
You'll have to do some research on this, but it sounds a little bit like Pikmin.
Yeah, I will have to do research on that.
I figured. It's kind of a weird Nintendo game where you, like, you're crashed on this planet full of, like, flower people, and you have to get them to coordinate with you to, like, do these different goals and stuff. I don't know. It's weird. It's very difficult to describe.
I think we're going to wrap it up soon, but I wanted to touch on Rise of Nations, which Joel brought up. Neither you nor I have less than an hour on that game. Au contraire, I think I have, like, 80 hours in Rise of Nations. You?
Let me take a look. I mean, in my career of playing that game, I have maybe 40 hours, but since I've gotten it on Steam, let's see, I'm not sure I even have it installed, so it's, I gotta look through my giant 300. Oh, I do have it installed. Maybe we'll play that next. Oh, that's surprising. This seems to me like I left my browser on or something, like, but I have 46 hours in that game.
You know, and since I've already dropped the word earlier, I could probably say it again, but when I lived with Matt, we would have friends come over, and we'd have a giant LAN party, and we called it a Rise of Boners, because we all loved Rise of Nations so much. And it was basically, yeah, let's all gang up on John for 2 hours while he chucks spears at B-52 bombers.
Well, but I think you kind of initiated the spear chucking and couldn't keep up with the number of people who are annoyed with you from having, like, instigated the first aggression, right?
Trying to kill people's scouts and stuff like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, so, like, well, I don't know what it was, but, like, you made people mad, and then we all pounced on you for sure.
That was my initial trolling phase, so that sounds about
right. You did pretty well to maintain building an army, but obviously that game, you can't maintain building an army while also building a civilization.
And
so, yeah, like, you were still, like, having slingshot guys, like, try and take down planes, David and Goliath style, so.
Didn't work as well as David and Goliath story went, so.
No, it was a different, yeah, it was a retelling, a more realistic depiction of how that fight might have gone.
Real quick, I have Saints Row 4, Spin Tires, and XCOM Enemy Unknown on my honorable mentions.
XCOM makes me a little bit sad, but I think honestly at this point, XCOM 2 definitely fits the category of Borderlands 2, where, like, you might as well skip over XCOM Enemy Unknown now and just dive headlong into XCOM 2, especially with the modding community and stuff and all the workshop kind of stuff coming out. It's not going to be long now. I anticipate within the next month, we see a co-op mod. That's my guess.
Okay.
It could be as soon as this episode even hits air, but, like, right now, so the game came out February 5th, I think, if I have that right. And so it's been out for roughly a month, right? And, guess how many mods it has in the workshop?
200.
A little bit north of that. You want to guess again?
50.
1,095.
Close, then.
Yeah, you were, like, in the ballpark, kind of.
two questions. Does it have a I Am a Real American mod when you're going on a mission?
Ooh, I don't know if there's any Hulk Hogan-inspired mods or not.
And also, when you win a mission, does it sing Moscow by Genghis Khan? These are two of our favorite mods from the Insurgent. Is it Insurgent?
Definitely, yeah. Genghis or Genghis or whatever it is, Khan, especially the second one. That's one of my, that's 99% of the driving force of me wanting to win every mission.
And we haven't played that in 4 months, but every time we play it, we want to hear Hulk Hogan music at the start of each round in Moscow when we win each round.
Yeah.
It's Insurgency, right?
Insurgency. Yeah. That's a great
game.
You can usually pick it up kind of on the cheap. It used to be in a 4-pack and stuff for, Humble Bundle. So, a lot of people, like, probably picked it up. You can probably get it really cheap, I'm guessing, on sites like Kinguin or G2 Play.
Oh, I'm sure. But everybody owns a copy.
Yeah. Ooh, hey, look. A lot of the stuff for XCOM is pretty cosmetic at this point. I'm kind of looking at the most subscribed workshop mods.
Yeah.
And the first one's Cap'n Bub's Accessories Pack. So adds a lot of really cool looking, like, tactical helmets and, like, armor sets and whatever, but still really awesome. The character customization is like pretty chiefly important to this game because, like I said, it's kind of a kill your friends and relatives simulator. And then it's a lot of like Star Wars helmets, ink and paint. Yeah, full character customization. Turn the sword on your back into a katana. I mean, like a lot of this stuff is cosmetic. There's a lot of like actually big game breaking, but game improving or like massively game changing mods. This one, I guess, is kind of game breaking. There's one where, so the entire game, you're trying to stop the progress of this big alien project on Earth called the Avatar Project. And this one just takes the Avatar Project, like, countdown timer out of the game completely. So, like, you're not forced to play the game as though, like, the whole world is ending or whatever.
So
or,
it's like playing Dead Rising 2 without having... Not Dead Rising 2. Yeah, Dead Rising 2 without having to worry about getting Zombrex for your stupid daughter.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, that's... It takes that element out of the game, which it probably isn't... For casual players, obviously isn't anyone's favorite part of that game anyway. Like, no, you were saying, you definitely just want to run around the mall and, like, I don't know, turn wheelchairs into, like, death machines or something.
I don't know. I never get tired of running people over with a golf cart or chopping them up with a chainsaw.
Or chopping them up with, like, the front-facing bladed, like, lawnmower hedge trimmer or whatever. Yeah, whatever that is. Oh, man, that's always fun.
Oh, the lawnmower, that is fun.
There's so many fun things in that game, but yeah, they always try and ruin it by being like, okay, and here's some other stuff that you have to do, mandatory side quests, whatever stuff.
Go fight like, this clown that's made out of Kevlar.
Yeah, exactly. Go ahead Juggles and add chainsaws. These elements to your game, but don't make me do them. Like, have those things unlock different cool things for me or whatever, and like, but I mean, to,
I play
to
games
open
to
up
enjoy
a game,
myself, not to feel like I'm under the gun. Like, that's how I feel at work sometimes. Not
right. And, like, how perfectly have you established this universe that you're in a giant, like, playground, basically, you know what I mean? Like, to just go kill zombies in. And, like, even in the first one, they're like, okay, a helicopter's coming in 72 hours. But then, like, there's different stuff they want you to do the entire time. So that's all you need is, like, oh, okay, a helicopter's coming back in 72 hours, and you have to survive that long. That's all I want. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, add the cool stuff. Just don't make me, like, have to do it. Exactly. I don't know. I don't want to feel obligated. And especially don't use pathos to like be like, your daughter's survival is dependent on you doing
could
this.
Not care that's less about her cool. Because that girl you mentioned in a previous episode, she has her head buried in her iPhone the whole time.
I don't know if she has a line. Does she does she even say anything?
Like, and if she's autistic, I'm sorry, I don't mean any offense. I just think she's a normal kid and a brat.
I think she is too. I didn't pick up any like subplot of like
they did not endear her to you at all.
No. Nope.
So I'm like, screw her. She can turn into a zombie for all I care, because I'll chop her up with a lot more with the rest of these zombies.
Well, I mean, like, having, like, stepkids, which I would consider my kids, like, now, I get that you don't have to pave that road very much for me to care. But, like, as you know, to be empathetic towards that, you could do a little bit of work, though, you know? Like, I mean, like, Katie could have been a dog or, like, a hamster for all, like, the amount of personality she had. So, whatever. I'm done.
I feel like if she was a hamster, I would try to save her within the time constraints.
Well, yeah, I guess she was, like, a cute little hamster.
That was a bad analogy there, Kratzer.
I don't know. Whatever.
Any more honorable mentions before we wrap it up?
No, I think that's what I was trying to say is, not really anything else that, like, and there probably are. I could go through. I've got, like I said, 302 games. I obviously, at least at some point, thought, hey, I'd play this game. That's why it ended up in my library. But I guarantee you, I haven't played more than 20 to 25% of those games more than an hour.
I know. Wouldn't it be great if we could play them all? Although, there are quite a few that I have played and never want to touch again, which is what we're going to talk about in our next episode, is the games that we bought that we thoroughly hated.
Oh my gosh. Yep, I know exactly what my number one is, but yeah. No spoilers here. You'll have to tune in for that episode. I think it's going to do it for me. I hope it's been enlightening. See you next time.